I do appreciate all who have come again tonight and assure you of a very warm welcome in the Lord's name. You will remember again the meeting tomorrow night in the will of God at the same time, and then the meetings which do continue next week in the will of God. We'll appreciate your prayers, and if you can at all, we'll appreciate your presence if you can come back. Now, I should say, I've been meaning to say this, if there are any queries that you have in what we have been taking up, at the end of the meeting, don't be afraid to come and ask. That's what we're here for. We're seeking to be a help. And last evening, when we were speaking about the candlestick, I mentioned about the bowls made like unto almonds with an up and a flower. And I think there were maybe four or five folk said to me, what was an up? Well, an up is just a bud. It's just the first stage of growth. And really, that's what was seen on this beautiful lampstand. Three different stages of growth. The bud, and then the flower opening up, and then the almond in full bloom. But if you have any other query, don't be afraid to ask. Now, we're reading again tonight, just continuing on where we left off in the book of Exodus. And we're now into chapter 26. Book of Exodus, please, and chapter 26. Exodus 26, verse 1. Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen, and blue, and purple, and scarlet. With cherubim of cunning work shalt thou make them. The length of one curtain shall be 28 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits, and every one of the curtains shall have one measure. The 5 curtains shall be coupled together, one to another, and other 5 curtains shall be coupled one to another. In other words, there were going to be 2 sets of 5 curtains. And thou shalt make loops of blue upon the edge of the one curtain from the selvage and the coupling. And likewise shalt thou make in the uttermost edge of another curtain in the coupling of the second. 50 loops shalt thou make in the one curtain, and 50 loops shalt thou make in the edge of the curtain that is in the coupling of the second, that the loops may take hold one of another. And thou shalt make 50 tatches, or 50 clasps of gold, and couple the curtains together with the tatches, and it shall be one tabernacle. And thou shalt make curtains of goat's hair to be a covering upon the tabernacle. 11 curtains shalt thou make. The length of one curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits, and the 11 curtains shall be all of one measure. And thou shalt couple 5 curtains by themselves, and 6 curtains by themselves, and shalt double the 6th curtain in the forefront of the tabernacle. And thou shalt make 50 loops on the edge of the one curtain that is outmost in the coupling, and 50 loops in the edge of the curtain which coupleth the second. And thou shalt make 50 tatches of brass, and put the tatches into the loops, and couple the tent together, that it may be one. And the remnant that remaineth of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remaineth, shall hang over the back side of the tabernacle. And a cubit on the one side, and a cubit on the other side of that which remaineth in the length of the curtains of the tent, it shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle, on this side and on that side, to cover it. And thou shalt make a covering for the tent of ram's skins dyed red, and a covering above of badger's skins. Now just one other brief reading, please, in chapter 35. Exodus 35, verse 26. And all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. And that will suffice for our reading. In our studies of the tabernacle, we have commenced just exactly as God commences. We have commenced in the holiest of all, and we have looked at an ark and a mercy seat. And we were thinking of the importance of that meeting at the mercy seat. God could say to Moses, "There I will meet with thee, and there I will commune with thee." And having looked at that, then we moved out into the holy place, and we were thinking of the sustenance of the showbread. We noticed this golden table and the showbread upon it. Last evening, we were seeking to draw some lessons from the light of this lampstand, the light of the golden lampstand. This evening, as the Lord would give help, I want to share with you a consideration of these curtains and their coverings. Strictly speaking, there were two sets of curtains, and above that, two sets of coverings. Starting from the inside and working out, for that is the way that God brings them before us in Exodus 26, there was first of all 10 curtains of fine twine linen of blue, purple and scarlet with cherubim thereon. They were in two sets of 5. At the edge of the set of 5 there were 50 loops of blue. On the other set of 5, another 50 loops of blue. And they were joined together, the two sets of curtains were joined together with 50 clasps of gold. That is strictly called the tabernacle. So there was first of all this set of 10 curtains, two sets of 5 of fine twine linen. Then above that, there were 11 curtains of goat's hair. We have read it was a set of 5 and a set of 6. We've noticed the importance of that when we come to it. At the edge of every set of curtains, there were 50 loops. I judge 50 loops of goat's hair. And the two sets of the goat's hair curtains, they were joined together with 50 clasps of brass or copper. Then above that, there was a covering here of ram skins dyed red, and above that a covering of badger skins. Now the artist has these depicted in this way that we can see that there were 4, but I want you to understand that one was on top of the other. So all you would have seen from the outside was really this outward covering of badger skins. But just to make our subject simple tonight, that I trust you can take at home with you, I want to suggest to you, looking at this outward covering first of all of badger skins, I want to suggest to you that that would tell me of what the eye of man saw in Christ. For it all speaks of the person of the Lord Jesus, as we have seen. From beginning to end of the study of the tabernacle, it all speaks of one blessed person. And this outward covering is really telling us of what the eye of man saw in the Son of God. When I come to this other covering here, I want to suggest to you that the covering of ram skins dyed red is what the eye of God saw in His Son. You notice nobody else saw it. Those from the outside, they never saw this covering. Even the priestly eye, the priest that entered in through the door, he did not see this covering. And so I suggest to you, it is a lovely picture of what the eye of God saw in Christ. Then we come to the 11 curtains of goat's hair. I want to suggest to you that they are a picture of what God made his son down here. We have read of them that they were 30 cubits long. Now we will notice tomorrow evening that these boards were 10 cubits high. And the holy place was 10 cubits across. So the 30 cubits would really reach from the ground here, right over the holy place, and right down to the ground again. So I do believe that these curtains are a picture of what God made his son down here. But then when we come to the innermost set of curtains, the curtains of fine twine linen, they were 28 cubits long. So they didn't reach the ground. I want to suggest to you that they are a picture of what God has made his son now. What God has made his son in heaven. I trust that will be helpful. First of all then, I want to look at the coverings from the outside and work our way in. This curtain then, this covering, maybe I should say that I do believe particularly that the outside coverings, they would have had pins and cords as well. Something like what we see out in the court. And so they were stretched across, and that would put strength to these coverings. But I have suggested to you that this covering of badger skins was just a picture of what the eye of man saw in Christ. It was a very plain covering. In a sense, a very unattractive covering. In a sense, I say carefully, a very drab covering. They never appreciated all these tribes round about. But underneath the badger skin, there were these lovely golden boards and beautiful golden vessels, some of which we have looked at already. They could not appreciate that. They only saw an outward covering. Well, we might well ask tonight, what did the eye of man see in Christ when he was here? I think it just could be summed up in two words. And they're found in Isaiah 53. No beauty. No beauty that they would desire him. St. John in his Gospel in chapter 1 and verse 11, John says of the Lord Jesus, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. You'll notice in the other Gospel accounts that there comes, as you read through the Gospel, there comes a point, sometimes midway through the Gospel, where Christ is rejected by the nation. But you'll notice in the Gospel of John, the Tabernacle Gospel, that Christ is rejected by the nation from the very opening chapter. From the very outset, they could see no beauty in him. He just did not fit into their thinking. He had not been brought up in their schools. He had not visited their colleges. They just could not fit him in to their plan. You remember one day the Lord Jesus asked a question. He said to them, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? What a variety of answers they give him. Some say John the Baptist. Some say Elias. Some say Jeremiah. Some say one of the prophets. They just couldn't make up their mind about him. But then said the Savior, but whom say ye that I am? And at least there was one of the company. His name was Peter. And what does Peter say? Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. In other words, Peter just got a look below the badger skin. He appreciated something of the beauty of the gold. You remember the first thing that they give the Savior when he came? They give him an outside place. Said, look in his gospel in chapter 2. There was no room for them in the inn. Mark you, it doesn't say there was no room in the inn. Sometimes we hear it quoted like that. But that is not what Luke is telling me. Luke says there was no room for them in the inn. There might have been ample room in the inn, but there was no room for them. No room for Christ, and no room for those associated with Christ. I want to say, the world has never changed. That was the first thing they gave him, an outside place. You remember the last thing that they gave him? John tells me in John chapter 19, as he hung upon a cross, said John, they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. That was the last thing the world offered him. Sour vinegar. You remember the first thing he gave them? John chapter 2 tells me. At the marriage in Cana of Galilee, he gave them the best wine. He just gave them a taste of the joy of heaven. And in response, all they could give to him was sour vinegar. It has seen my brother, my sister, in this plain covering, just the outward covering of badger skins. They said of him, is not this the carpenter? They said on another occasion, is not this the son of Joseph? They could not see the beauty that God could see in his son. But not only was this covering very plain, I want you to understand it was very protective. The only other time that we read of badger skins in our Bible, out with the study of the tabernacle, is found in the prophecy of Ezekiel, chapter 16 and verse 10. And it's there that God is speaking about his provision for his people in the wilderness. And he's speaking about their shoes. And their shoes were made of badger skins, or seal skins, whatever it was. It was a hard, durable, long-lasting material. Maybe some of my brethren would wish the shoes were still made like that. You know, the wife always likes a pair of shoes now and again. But imagine, shoes lasting 40 years. For the very pair of shoes they had when they come out of Egypt, if they were still alive. They were still the same pair of shoes at the end of the journey. And so, badger skins was a very durable material. Of course it had to be. You think of the storms that might arise in the wilderness. You think of the rain at times that may have come. It would have been heavy when it came. This outward covering had to be protective. It had to protect everything else that was underneath. I'm thinking again of the Savior. You know, men tried to make an inroads underneath that covering. They came at times with their trick questions. They came at times with their trumped up stories. Trying to make an inroads, could never find it. They had to learn that a greater than Solomon was here. You remember that the devil, for 40 days in the wilderness, he tried to make an inroads. From every avenue he tried. But he found a man of a different order. The Lord Jesus could say, and only he could say, the devil cometh and hath nothing in me. Never forget, dear child of God, he has something in you and I, but he had nothing. There was nothing in this blessed man could ever respond to the tempting of the evil one. And so this covering, it was plain. It was protective. But it's just a fitting picture of what the eye of man saw in Christ. When I come to the second covering that was underneath the badger skins, this covering of ram skins dyed red, I have suggested to you that was what the eye of God saw in his Son. I trust you understand that. Nobody else could see it. No one from the outside saw it. And as I've said already, not even the priestly eye from inside could understand that. This was primarily for the eye of God. You know, when we think of the Ram, we think of determination. We sometimes use that expression, a battering ram. The ram speaks of that that is determined. It speaks of devotion. It speaks of consecration. It reminds me of a blessed man that was ever determined to do the will of God. When I think of the ram, I think particularly of the day in which this priestly family was consecrated, Aaron and his sons. It's recorded for us in Exodus chapter 29 and in a fuller way in Leviticus chapter 8. God said to Moses, take Aaron and his sons. In other words, they were called. And then secondly, they were cleansed. They were bathed all over. And then they were clothed in a suitable attire. But then they were consecrated. Consecrated for the service of God. In their consecration, two rams were taken. The first one was killed. And its blood was sprinkled on this altar here, the brazen altar out of the gate. But the second ram, it also was killed. But the blood was treated in a different way. It was called the ram of consecration. For the blood of that ram was taken, and it was put upon the tip of the right ear of Aaron and his sons. It was put upon the thumb of the right hand. And it was put upon the great toe of the right foot. What was God teaching these men? He was teaching them this. That he wanted these members to be consecrated to him. He still requires that. The consecrated ear. The consecrated hand. A consecrated foot. You know, sometimes in my travelling about, folk come to me and they say, well, you think would it be all right for me to go and listen such and a thing? You think would it be all right for me to be engaged in something particular? You think would it be all right for me to go to a certain place? Well, you know, a good guide is this. Can you get down in the presence of God and ask him to bless what you're listening to? Can you ask him to bless what your hand is engaged in? Can you ask him to bless where your feet are taking you? Mind you, if you can't. I do fear that you do not have the consecrated ear or the consecrated hand or the consecrated foot. There was a blessed man who had it all. Had not my blessed Savior the consecrated ear? I read in Isaiah 50, his ear was opened morning by morning. His ear was opened to hear as the learned. He said, I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. The poet said, thy stainless life, thy holy walk, in every aspect true, from the defilement all around, no taint of evil drew, morning by morning he did wake. Amidst this poisoned air, yet no contagion touched his soul, no sin disturbed his prayer. He was the man with a consecrated ear. Was he not the man with a consecrated hand? He could say, as a tender boy of 12, I must be about my father's business. My father's business is my business. I must be in the things of my father. He said on another occasion, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. He was the man of the consecrated hand. Was he not the man with the consecrated walk? I think of the words of John 4. He must needs go through Samaria. Oh, there was an alternative route. But that was the pathway of the will of his God. And he must travel that way. He was ever the man of the consecrated foot. But there is another lovely chapter that tells me something of the ram. And that's Genesis 22. I think of Isaac on the altar on Mount Moriah. And Abraham stretches forth his hand to take the knife. And the voice is heard from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God. And he looked, and behind him, behold, a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. It had been there all the time. Rather interesting thing is this, it was caught in a thicket by its horns. That's not normal, you know. Anyone that has worked with sheep will know that. That a sheep normally is caught in a thicket by its fleece. The sheep just go into the thicket just to get that fresh bite of grass. And they go in a little further, and before they know, they get entangled in the thicket. And as they turn, the fleece gets caught in the thicket. And the more they turn, the more they're caught. Very rarely would you ever get one caught in a thicket by its horns, because its horns are its very strength, its very power. But why was the ram in Genesis 22 not caught in the normal way? For this simple reason. If you had taken that ram out, if it had been caught in the thicket by its fleece, and killed that ram, you know what you would have discovered? The carcass would have been absolutely full of blemishes. Everywhere it would have been caught in the thicket, it would have left a blemish. You take a lamb and lift it up by your two hands, lift it by the fleece, and kill it. You know you discover? Just two blemishes where you pull the fleece. You see, God is very careful about every type of a son. That ram was not caught in the normal way by its fleece, but held by its very strength, held by its horns. Oh, the determination, oh, the devotedness of the ram. I thought a little time ago of that ram coming out of the thicket with the thorns on its head. My mind was directed to that beautiful statement in John 19 and 5. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said unto them, behold the man. Only the eye of God could appreciate the consecration of a son. Only he could fully appreciate the devotion of his heart. You'll notice these are ram skins, dyed red. That would tell me something of the devotion of Christ. It led him on to Golgotha. It led him on to the shedding of his precious blood. here were ram skins indeed, never ceasing to be ram skins, but now dyed red. Said Philippians 2, he was obedient. How far? Right on to death. Ram skins, dyed red. But now when we come to this set of curtains, these 11 curtains of goat's hair, I have suggested to you that they speak of what God made his son down here. When we think of the goat in our Old Testament, we're very much reminded of the sin offering. I'll develop that in a moment or two. I'll explain what I mean. Well, what did God make his son down here? In the language of Isaiah 53, thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. In the language of 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, God made him to be sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It would nearly seem to me that the Spirit of God has anticipated that we would have a problem when we came to 11 curtains. So he has divided the set of curtains for us into a 5 and a 6. A set of 5 and a set of 6. Of course, as you look at these curtains, they were 30 cubits long. So that is 5 multiplied by 6. 6 in our Bible is the number of man. Man was created on the 6th day. Rather interesting, there are 6 different words in our Bible for man. 4 in the Hebrew and 2 in the Greek. So 6 is the number of man. And 5 is the number of grace. And when I think of these curtains, I think of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in taking upon himself manhood. Why? That he might be that sin offering at Calvary. I want you to notice something about the making of these curtains. That's why I read in chapter 35, for we've read that these goat's hair curtains, it was the wise-hearted woman that made these curtains. These curtains came about by the means of the woman. And I think it is a lovely picture of that first prophetic note in our Bible. We thought of it on Lord's Day morning here. In Genesis 3 and 15, that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. The one that would be the sin offering at Calvary came in by means of the woman. Galatians 4 and 4 says, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman. It's rather interesting that when Israel came out of Egypt, 3 months after they came out, God gave them instruction about this tabernacle. It was precisely 9 months in the making. I leave that for your consideration. Said Isaiah 7, the virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. God manifest in flesh. The making of the curtains. But I said to you, that these curtains of goat's hair would remind us of the sin offering. And so they do. I'm thinking now of that great day in Israel's calendar, the great day of atonement, brought before us in Leviticus chapter 16. It was a tremendous day. Many, many things happened that day, but I'm thinking in relation to the goat. Two goats were taken, and lots were cast for the goats. One lot for the Lord, and one lot for the people. That shows me that there is a double aspect in the work of Christ. And the lot, the goat on which the Lord's lot fell, that goat was killed. And the high priest took that blood right in through this door, right in through the veil, right into the presence of God, and put that blood upon the mercy seat, and seven times before the mercy seat. Why did he do that? That was to satisfy every requirement of heaven's throne. Sometimes we forget that about the work of Christ. I want you to notice that God got his portion first. God's claims must be satisfied first. I want to say tonight, if there was never a sinner saved, the God of heaven was infinitely and righteously and eternally satisfied in the death of his Son. It has met every requirement of his righteousness and of his throne. Never forget that about the work of Christ. The blood was for the eye of God. God is satisfied. But you say, what about this other goat? What about the live goat? That's going to teach me another wonderful aspect of the work of Christ. I see this same high priest come out, and now he puts his hands upon the head of the live goat, this goat that was for the people. And upon the head of that live goat, he confesses the iniquity, the errors of the people. You say, what happens to the goat? It's taken by the hands of a fifth man into a land not inhabited. You know, this camp of Israel was at least something like about 12 miles square. So when a man took a sin offering out, he was going out at least 6 miles. Ah, but this man was going further. This man was taking this goat. I tell you, he needed to be a fit man. He was taking the goat that was bearing the iniquities of the people. He was taking it into a land not inhabited. It tells me something of the tremendous distance my blessed Savior went. None of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, how dark was the night the Lord passed through, where he found that sheep that was lost. Oh, what a distance he went. You know, the Israelite could look and see that goat going away and say, my sins are gone. Gone for another year. I want to tell you something greater than that. There was one that stood one day on the banks of the Jordan. And John the Baptist pointed him out. He says, give him your undivided attention. Behold the Lamb of God. He takes away, he bears away the sin of the world. What a fullness in the work of Christ. Going into a land not inhabited. Dear brother, wrote a lovely poem on that scapegoat. I wish I could have learnt it all. If you ever get it, read it. Memorise it if you can. Depicts the man taking the goat out. Out and out and on and on. The last verse depicts the cry, the bleat of the goat. That it pierced the moral universe on high. Upon eternal shores the echoes break. That lone, that loud, that lamentable cry. My God, why didst thou me forsake? Oh, the loneliness of Christ upon the tree. What was he doing? That fit man was going into a land not inhabited. I'm glad that the blood has satisfied God. I'm glad there was a man in his death upon the tree. He bore my sin away. And I am satisfied too. But there's something rather intriguing about these curtains, these 11 curtains. But we have read about one of the curtains. And it was doubled out in the front. We will discover tomorrow night that there were 20 boards down the one side. Every board a cubit and a half wide. So in other words, the whole structure was 30 cubits long. And as we have said, 10 cubits high. And we have read about these curtains. The half curtain that was down the back side of the tabernacle. In other words, it covered these curtains here. Well, I want you to keep that in mind. 30 cubits long and then 10 cubits. So that was 40 cubits right from here, right down to the ground. These curtains were 4 cubits wide. So, in other words, 10 of the curtains would have taken me from here, right down the back. 10 fours are 40. Right? But then there was this 11th curtain. It was out of the front. It was the only one was seen. One 11th curtain, one of the curtains doubled over out of the front. 10 curtains hidden, only one curtain seen. I ask you tonight, how many years was the Son of God here in this world? Oh, you say 33. That's correct. How many of those years were hidden? How many years did he spend away from the eye of man? How many years did he spend in Nazareth in obscurity? Oh, you say 30 years. Luke makes that very clear. He was 30 years old when he stepped out in public service. What is God showing us? 10 elevenths was hidden. Only one 11th seen. 30 years hidden. 3 years in public testimony. I didn't write about these curtains. The Spirit of God did. For the Spirit of God was thinking of one who would come and fulfill it all to the very letter. I want to say, dear child of God, if there is only one curtain seen out in the front, doubled over as a witness for you and I to look on, if you and I have grasped something of that 1/11th, if you and I have appreciated something about that one curtain, and rejoiced our heart in that one curtain, I want to assure you, there's still 10/11ths yet to be explored. God has yet to reveal to you and I in a coming day something of those 30 years that were hidden. He has promised the overcomer in the book of the Revelation. One of his promises is this. He says, you'll feed upon the hidden manna. You know, the manna was a picture of the Lord Jesus here in humiliation. God says there's hidden manna to be fed upon. He says, I'll share it with you in a day to come. We'll never plumb Christ here, you know. But what an eternity awaits us. God will unfold to us something of those 10 curtains that we know nothing about. And so the 11 curtains. But God made his Son down here. My time's just a bit gone, but I want to say very briefly just one or two things about these 10 curtains. 10 curtains of fine twine linen, of blue, of purple, and scarlet, with cherubim upon them. It seems as if the Spirit of God again has just left us the key at the door of how to understand them. You know, every time you read of these colours in relation to the tabernacle, and in relation to the garment of the high priest, they come in this order. Blue, purple, scarlet, and fine twine linen. There is only one exception. And that's our subject now. God normally puts the blue first. Because what he's want to impress is this. There was a man who came from the orbit of blue. He came from heaven right down to earth. But you'll notice God is not putting the blue first. God now in our subject is putting the fine twine linen first. What is God teaching us? God is just teaching me that that blessed man who once was here, seen in that fine twine linen curtain, is that very same blessed man who now is exalted in heaven. We will notice when we come to the court, it is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus down here on earth. You see, there were things about the tabernacle that were hidden, but there was nothing hidden out in the court. People could come and view this fine twine linen. I want you just to do a little bit of arithmetic with me. This court was 100 cubits long, fine twine linen. That's 100 cubits. 50 broad, that's 150. Another 100, 250. 15 cubits of fine twine linen each side of the gate. That's another 30. 280 cubits of fine twine linen the whole way around. But what do we have now when we think of these curtains? There were 10 of them. And every one of them was 28 cubits long. If you took those 10 curtains and you put them all in a line, what would you discover? 280 cubits. Of fine twine linen. God is teaching me now that that blessed man depicted in the 280 cubits of fine twine linen out in the court is the very same blessed man that he has exalted in the glory. God has highly exalted him. If there is one writer in our Bible that emphasizes the fine twine linen, it is Luke, the beloved physician. He wrote a whole gospel to tell me of the moral beauty and loveliness of the Son of God as he moved here as a man amongst men. What a gospel. The moral loveliness and beauty of the Son of God. But he wrote another book. He wrote the book of the Acts to emphasize the truth that the man he wrote about in the gospel is now the same exalted man who has went up in the glory. You remember chapter 1 this same Jesus. Very same one that was here is now the exalted Christ in heaven. What a day for Saul of Tarsus when he learnt it on the Damascus road. Bowed in the dust, he heard the voice from heaven, I am Jesus. The man that was here is now the exalted Messiah upon the throne. Fine twine linen, a blue, a purple, and a scarlet. The fine twine linen is his moral glory. The blue is his heavenly glory. The purple is his kingly glory. The scarlet is his redemptive glory. We've said already in our studies that John's gospel is the tabernacle gospel. You don't need to go out of chapter 1 to find them all. His moral glory, said John in verse 14, the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. And we beheld his glory. We saw something of the fine twine linen. The blue, his heavenly glory. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The purple, his royal, his kingly glory. My, said Nathanael in verse 49, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Getting a look at the purple. But as a man in that chapter got a look at the scarlet. We have quoted the verse already. John the Baptist, verse 29. He says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. What a privilege then for the priest. And what a privilege for you and I, as it were, to enter in and look up and see it all in that blessed man. We sing a lovely hymn at times. It just catches what I mean. The poet says, rise my soul, behold his Jesus. Jesus fills thy wandering eyes. See him now, in glory seated, where thy sins no more can rise. Shall we pray?